pasture of the river. And God's people together say, amen and amen. As we direct ourselves this morning to God's Word, let me mention that over the course of my many years in ministry, I've read a range of Christian periodicals. Sometimes I found an article there that I thought was exceptionally good. And I thought, that would be good sermon material. And so I put it in what I called my sermon file. And out of that sermon file, I've written a fair number of sermons on articles. This morning, you're getting the results of one of those. Some years ago now, that appeared in a Christian periodical. In fact, it was Christianity Today. It was entitled, Can God Be Trusted? Can God Be Trusted? Reflections on Psalm 91. I want to read this psalm this morning, and then we want to reflect on the words and the promises found therein. Psalm 91. Hear the word of God. The one who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He is my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him. I will show him my salvation. These are the words of Psalm 91. I want to share a message with you under the theme this morning, the blessing of living under God's wings. Many of us seated here this morning, I think, many of us, not all, but many can remember back to an earlier time in life. When we were young, when we were at home. And it was a good home. We felt loved there. We felt secure there. We didn't worry overly much. We felt protected. We felt safe. As we lived, what shall I say, in that nest, it was a good feeling. As I said, not all people can identify with that and experience that. But in many homes, children today still know what it means to be safe, to be deeply loved and secure. There was a truck driver once. On television, he was asked the question, if you could be any age you would choose to be, what age might that be? As I said, a 50-year-old truck driver. He had to reflect on that for a moment. Might it be age 65 or so, when he could retire and be done with all the craziness out there on the road day by day, with all those people that he had to deal with on the road? Might it be when he was 16, 17, 18 in life, and he could undo some of the things that he had done, some bad decisions that he had made and regretted so over the course of his life? Might it be that time when he could make a better choice for a mate in life, perhaps, or for a vocation? Might it be this age? Might it be that age? After some reflection, this 50-year-old truck driver drew his conclusion. He says, if I could choose to be any age I would wish to be, I would want to be age 3. Age 3. And when he was asked, why did you say that? Respond in that way. He says, when you're 3, you have no responsibilities. He had a point. When you're age 3, living at home, you're not concerned about ice that may back up under the shingles in winter here in Michigan, or you're not concerned about water that may enter your basement following major rains, flooding. When you're 3, you're not concerned about a numbness in your arm or a tingling in your leg or some dizziness. What might that mean? What might that mean? Words like ISIS and COVID and Taliban and West Nile, and I could go on and on, they're not on your radar. You're 3. You're in the net. Parents will take care of that. This 50-year-old driver had seemingly made a rather wise choice. There's a problem, of course. We've all been 3. But we can't remain 3. We move on from that age to an older age, and ultimately into adulthood. But living in our kind of a world and a society, no matter what your age, there's always yet that need to be loved, to know that someone is in charge, and that things will be okay, even when they appear not to be okay. And God has a word for us, a word to comfort us. One of the great themes of the Bible is that God is our shelter. He is our refuge. This verse from Psalm 91, he will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you will find refuge. The image here, obviously, is that of a bird. Maybe an eagle, known for its powerful wings. Or maybe a hen, known for her nurturing wings. But it's the nature of almost any bird, when danger is near, when the enemy is near, to spread their wings, to protect and preserve their young. I read that move or that instinct is so strong that when an enemy approaches, a bird will spread her wings to form a canopy, even if there's no young to protect. Just their nature, they'll do that. I cannot read that verse, that understanding, without remembering an incident earlier in life. It goes back many, many years. It was October 20 of year 1960. I was 13, 14, something like that, and living on our farm home outside of Zealand. And I may have mentioned this before, but on a Sunday morning such as this, at about this time, a fire started on our farm and we lost everything. The barn, the chicken houses, the hog operation, everything. The house was spared, the car garage, that was it. 7 children at home, mom and dad. We lost our family income, and that was no minor thing. I'll never forget that blaze as we were called out of church and living about a half a mile. That blaze in the skies. We lost it all. But I'll never forget something else. The next morning, nothing, everything was lost, except there were a couple of chicks roaming around. A couple of chicks. And I thought, where in the world did they come from? And I think you know. There was a mother hen who spread her wings to protect her young. The mother hen wasn't living. She sacrificed herself to preserve and to protect, to maintain life for the young. The psalmist knows that instinct, dear friends, that behavior of a bird. It reminds him of God. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge, safety, security, shelter, love. I read in this regard that during World War II, when the German troops were invading Holland, the air sirens would sound, saying that the bombers were nearing their area. And when those sirens sounded, within homes, families would take their children, and they would go to a safe place, often a hallway, somewhere in the center of the house. And there, I read, oftentimes they would read the words of Psalm 91 and ask God to spread his wings over them, to protect them. And I remember vividly earlier in life, around that time when the fire happened, we had some devastating storms, tornadoes in our area, which had never happened before, but great loss of property and some death even. What do you do? How do you protect yourself? And so I remember my father, we had a large farm home. He built a tornado shelter in the basement of our home, and others did as well. It was always the southwest corner because they had a certain direction from where they came. And then when the skies were very threatening and weather warnings came on and the alarm was announced, our family would go down into that shelter, that block shelter. My father would pray, asking God to protect, to spread his wings, as it were, over us. And we felt a peace, a security, being in the safest place we knew, having prayed, and we were living under the protection now of God himself. But sometimes we wonder, just how secure are people under those wings, having prayed? What assurance do we have that no evil then will befall us? The psalm writer seems so adamant, does he not, in Psalm 91. Verse 5, you will then not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. A bit later, verse 9, if you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. It's an amazing promise, but it almost sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? And sometimes it just doesn't seem to fit reality. I'm thinking of Paul and Silas preaching the gospel, Acts 16, doing God's will. And they're put in prison for doing that, in stocks there. Doesn't seem to add up. Stephen, Acts chapter 9, giving a bold testimony to God, to Jesus as the Messiah, the one who's come from God to save. And stones come his way, and he's not protected. He ends up under the pile of those stones, dead. And I can't help but reflect on those Dutch families when the sirens founded. They went into that inner hallway, and they prayed. And sometimes their house was bombed to smithereens, and lives were lost. And I must add, being in the shelter of a home, tornado shelter, that was no guarantee that that tornado would jump over our home or stop before it arrived. That didn't happen. Christian people weren't protected in that way. And we know people pray for God to protect them as they go on the road, going here or there. But sometimes there's a drunk driver. And those who are innocent, those who've prayed for God's protection, they become victims, do they not? And there are couples who've prayed and prayed that God would make fruitful a barren womb, that they could have a child, and then it happens. And they rejoice greatly. And then something happens, and the life of that child is removed. And I could go on and on. Praying for God to protect, to provide, spreading His wings, and then such trial, such tragedy. Oh, admittedly, sometimes we can act quite foolishly, I think. We don't take any precautions. We don't observe danger signs. People go camping today, and there's clear signs there not to feed wild animals. People can read the sign, but they do it anyway, with a negative result. Or those signs posted at the big lake, the red flag. There's a strong undertow. There's a riptide current. You're not to go into the water. But people go in anyway sometimes with tragic results. May I add, I think over the years, cigarette packages have always had the message on that you smoke to the possible hazardness of your health. Clearly stated, they know that. That doesn't mean they don't do it. And I'm thinking now of those, you go on the road, there's those yellow strips in the middle, usually when you're going uphill. That simply means in that area you are not to pass a vehicle. But I think we've all been on the road. And there comes somebody up behind you, and around they go. Yellow lines. What are you doing? What are you thinking? The message is clear, but they don't observe or obey. We act so foolishly sometimes. Maybe we think that God will bail us out. He'll just protect us. God may do that in His mercy. But we should not count on Him to do so. Maybe you recall Jesus' temptations in the wilderness, that Satan used Psalm 91 in its promise. You read how Satan took Jesus to the highest point of the temple, and he said, "Throw yourself down, do it. The Bible says God will give His angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways." And do you know what Jesus told Satan? Verse 7, Matthew chapter 4. It's not right to put God to the test. In other words, don't act like a fool and then expect God to rescue you or to bail you out. Don't use Psalm 91 or any other scripture in that way. But sometimes we act not foolishly. We act wisely. We do make good choices. We seek to live obediently, to pursue holiness, to dwell beneath God's wings. And yet, we have to deal maybe with brain cancer. Or maybe with a broken marriage. Or maybe with infertility. Or some other evil. So much trial, so much trouble. And we wonder, what about Psalm 91? In the promises found there. One writer states that I read, and I agree with him, Psalm 91 expresses one of the loveliest and most treasured, but just one of the moods of faith. Just one. It's the mood of confidence. Extreme confidence in God's provision, in God's blessing, in God's rescue. Maybe the psalm writer, as he wrote this psalm, had just been protected in the most marvelous way. He had prayed, and God had answered that prayer in a delightful way. And his heart is just overwhelmed. And he's celebrating. He writes a psalm. His confidence is high. He's blessing God in that psalm. But then there's other moods, as we know, in other psalms, reflecting other kinds of experiences and other kinds of days in life, darker days. Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Where are you, Lord? Psalm 42, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? God's good children have had those kinds of days too. We believe, but on that given day, we are frankly discouraged and we're disturbed. Psalm 91, filled with confidence, or shall I say, kind of a quiet amazement. Under the wings of God, such good things happen to people who are yet and always so undeserving, who continually dishonor God. Such good things. But in other psalms, people living under those very same wings of God, such bad and evil things happen to people who are so good, so good. When Psalm 91 says that no harm shall befall you, no disaster will come near your tent, I think we must conclude that no final or no ultimate or no lasting evil will prevail. Fall upon us, because we know, we can love God with all of our heart, trust in Him fully, and yet have our heart broken by the loss of a child, maybe the betrayal of a spouse, the onset of a fatal disease, premature widowhood, or this or that. But now I must say, for generation after generation, God's dear people, His beloved children, have known something else. And whatever trial or trouble or tribulation comes their way, there was a hand of God that they felt. There was the voice of God that they heard. There was the peace of God that passed all understanding within me. There was the assurance that nothing was going to separate them from the love of God. Nothing, nothing. Nothing devil could throw their way. They were safe and secure and sheltered always in the arms of God. Lewis Smead's one of my favorite authors. He wrote that little book. I've read it often. How can things be all right when everything is all wrong? How can things be all right when everything is all wrong? And he says, they can be all right if Jesus is your Lord and Savior. If God is your Father. If you choose to live beneath His wings. Because those are wings that will never break. And wings that will never, never forsake you. They are wings of deep and abiding love. My friends, yes, there is blessing indeed in living under the wings of God. Today and every day. Amen? Join me in prayer. Lord, I pray that each one of us, younger, older, may come to live beneath your wings day by day, covered by your feathers, that we can know in the storms and stresses of life a peace, a comfort, a love, a security that comes and can only come from you, our God. Lord, I pray that each one may come to that faith, that personal faith in which we say, the Lord is my refuge, he is my fortress, he is the God in whom I trust. And now, Lord, we move into yet another week. And it's a week perhaps filled with plans and projects and activities. Our schedules have much to do this week. And yet it may be a week filled with surprises, too. Even storms that come so suddenly and unexpectedly. We do not know about them, but you do. Lord, may we dwell this week in your shelter. May we rest in your shadow. May we live beneath your wings. And there may we find peace and strength. And there may we live with joy. In Christ's name, amen. When peace like a river attends my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, the Lord has taught me to say, it's okay. It's well with my soul.